very much. Praise the Lord. I welcome everyone to our Ministers Professional Conference this morning in Jesus' name. Now we're taking a series starting today, and then the next one on Monday, and the final one on Tuesday. As you are here today, the blessing of God be upon your life, upon your family, and upon your ministries, upon all our churches in Jesus' name. Make sure that you make all the various things that we're going to do today, Monday and Tuesday, sacrifice, and the Lord will bless your sacrifice tremendously in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for our ministers. Thank you for our workers. Thank you for all the various blocks and churches that are represented here. We're asking, oh Lord, nobody will come and go back in vain in Jesus' name. Abundant blessing, multiplied blessings for ministry, for life. You grant every one of us in Jesus' name. Lift us higher, take us further, that we will accomplish what you have purposed for us in ministry in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. You can give a good amen before you sit down. Thank you very much. You can sit down. We're talking about pruning. And you understand? Because we already knew that we are purged and pruned so that we can bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit, abundant fruit, spiritual fruit in every life. Today in the series I'm talking on the Father's pruning and purging for ministerial fruitfulness. The Father, that's the Father God in heaven, he prunes us. He prepares us, he purges us, and he perfects everything concerning us and the ministry, so that as ministers, as laymen, and as professionals, we can bear the fruit he expects in our lives. The topic again, the Father's pruning and purging for ministerial fruitfulness. We're looking at John chapter 15. And in John chapter 15, we're reading from verse 1. Here is Christ talking. He's talking to the apostles. Here is Christ talking. He's talking to his immediate initial disciples, and through them talking to all the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers and the ministers that will come after them to this generation and unto the end of the world. Hear his word in John 15 verse 1. I am the true shepherd, and my Father is the husbandman. And then in verse 2 he says, every branch in me, every branch not outside him, anyone outside him is not a believer. Anyone outside him is not a branch. Anyone outside him cannot even be a member of the body of Christ, not to talk of a minister in the body. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. In verse 3, it says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4 says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. An isolated branch, a cut off branch, a severed branch, standing in isolation, cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except ye abide in me. Verse 5, in verse 5 it says, I am the vine, Ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Look at verse 6 there. This is serious. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. But then in verse 7, it says in verse 7, if ye abide in me, if you in particular abide in me, every branch has to take that decision. Every branch has to maintain that position, that you as a believer, you as a branch in him, you as a minister. It says, if you abide in him and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, whatever request you have, and it shall be given unto you. Then in verse 8, it says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. In verse 16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should bring forth, ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Your fruit will abide. It says that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. That's the passage you are looking at. And from that passage you are looking at the Father's pruning and the purging for ministerial fruitfulness. The purpose is so that you'll bear fruit. While we're here, what we teach, what we read, what we explain, what we expound, and what we pray about at the end of the message is so that you will not be unfruitful, you will not be barren, you will not be fruitless, but you'll bear fruit. You'll bear more fruit. You'll bear much fruit, and you'll bear abundant fruit of ministry in your ministerial endeavors in Jesus' name. Now, let's divide the message to three parts. Number one, the conversion of the true fruit-bearing believer. The conversion. The first thing is that we come to Christ. He is the vine, and then we become believers, branches in him. The conversion of true fruit-bearing believers. Number two is the consecration of faithful abiding branches. Of faithful abiding branches. Christ is not like a restaurant that you go in, take whatever you want, eat whatever you want, and then you go away. And then when you're hungry again, then you come back. You go, you come, you crawl in, you crawl out. Christ is not like that. You come to Christ, you continue in Christ, and you're committed in Christ, and you abide in him. You are faithful. From the point of your conversion, you take his yoke upon you, and you are totally and completely and continually attached unto the Lord. The consecration of a faithful abiding branch. Number three is the cultivation by the Father, pruning the branches, purging the branches, and the Father. You're always with the Father, and the Father is always with you, and the Father is always examining the work and the ministry and the endeavor and everything you're doing, and he knows whatever redundant thing might be in your life, and he takes that up, and he proves that away, and he purges that, and he cuts that off. Why? in his love, so that you'll bear more fruit. And today, the Lord himself, in his great power, will walk in every life. And from today, he'll make you bear more fruit to his liking. More fruit that can be rewarded in Jesus' name. 1, 2, 3. Let's look at number one. Number one is the conversion of true fruit bearing believers. We're dividing this to three parts. Number one is an impossibility. What's that? The impossibility of being a branch on two different trees. Here is a tree over here. At a distance, there's another tree over there. There is no branch that can be a branch of this tree and of that tree at the same time. You cannot swim two rivers at the same time. You cannot go on two roads, different roads, at the same time. You cannot fly in different place at the same time. You cannot serve God and Satan at the same time. The impossibility of being a branch on two different trees. Number two is the integration of the believer branch into the true divine tree. Before we can begin to bear fruit, and before we can claim that we belong to Christ, he takes us off the wild olive tree. He takes us off where we had been originally by nature, by birth, by practice. He cuts us away from that tree. Why? That tree is meant for fire. And he doesn't want you as a branch to be for firewood. Therefore, he cuts you off from that tree, and then he grafts you into the divine tree. That's the integration of the believer branch into the true divine tree. Number three is the identity of the begotten branches in the despised tree. Let's look at number one. Number one is the impossibility of being a branch on two different trees. Look at Romans chapter 11. Reading from verse 17. In Romans 11 verse 17, if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, what? Grafted in among them, and was them you partake of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. It says you have to be cut off from the tree where you were born, your nature, the nature of Adam, the nature depraved, the nature sinful, and then you are growing like all the other branches, like all your neighbors, like every sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then you turn around and you say, I see another tree. And Christ says, he is the tree, he is the vine, and I want to be there because I want to spend eternity with him in heaven. He says, the only way you can be a branch in him is to cut you off from that other tree and then become part of Christ. Because look at Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 24. It says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says, no man can serve two masters. No man can be a branch in two different trees, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Ye cannot serve God and any other thing. You cannot be a branch on the true vine and also be a branch on the wild tree. You cannot be a child of God and a child of Satan at the same time. You cannot be a person who is a believer and an unbeliever at the same time. You cannot serve idols and serve God, Christ, at the same time. You cannot go on Sunday and say, I'm worshiping God, and then after the service you go to one man somewhere. He is the one to practically take care of your life. Idol worship cuts you away from God. Sinfulness cuts you away from God. Serving Satan, being in a gang, belonging to a gang, belonging to an occult, makes you not to be a child of God. We cannot be here and there at the same time. And you cannot be in heaven and hell at the same time. It's either you quit all those hellish things and then you come to the heavenly scene, or you abide and hold on to the hellish things and then you miss heaven forever. That means, number one, the impossibility of any branch, any man, any woman belonging to Satan and belonging to God at the same time. I want to belong to God fully, completely, with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and I want my destiny to be in the hand of God and God alone. What do I do? Number two is the integration of the believer that the Lord refers to here as branch into the true divine tree. We're looking at Romans chapter 11. And we're reading from verse 24. In Romans chapter 11, verse 24, for if thou wast cut out of the holy tree, which is wild by nature, cut out, cut off, but you are not cut off to be thrown away. You are cut to be grafted into the true divine tree. It says, if you were cut off, the only tree which is wild by nature. Before we came to Christ, were wild. Wild in the mind. Wild in the thinking. Violent. Were wild in behavior. Were wild in language. Were wild in activity. And you knew, we know, everybody knows that the sinner is wild one way or the other. But now you want to belong to Christ. There is a cutting off from the wild tree by nature, and what grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree. It says, how much more shall these, the other people too, which be by nature branches, be grafted into their own olive tree. Paul the apostle was talking about the Gentiles, that you are wild, now you are cut off from the wild tree and you are grafted into the good vine. How much more the Jews that were not believing at that time? It's possible for them to also be caught and brought into the normal olive tree. Now, you look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23, and he brought us out from this. Talking about those who were converted, those who were redeemed, those who were turned around of those Jewish people out of Egypt. He brought us out from thence that he might bring us in. He brought us out that he might bring us in. Now, when you say you believe in Christ, he doesn't leave you in the middle. You are out of darkness, and then in the middle between darkness and light, no, he brings you into the light. You are out. Out of sin, and then you are not hanging between sin and the Savior. No, he brings you into the Savior. You are not hanging in the middle, and you are not hanging in the valley of indecision. He brought us out from this, that he might bring us in to give us the land, which is where unto our fathers. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17, it says, wherefore come out from among them. You want to be a branch, a believer in Christ, not just going to church, not just reading the Bible. The people read the Bible, they do nothing about what they have read in the Bible. Not just hearing sermons, the people you hear, but they're not doers of the word. It's not just that I know about Christ, I know about Christ, and I know so much about him, I have the desire, I make the decision, I come to Christ. You come out of the chaos and corruption of your life, and you come in to Christ. He says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And then he says, and I will receive you. And he says, knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. And he himself says, I am knocking. If any man, any woman, anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Look at verse 18. In verse 18, it says, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Amen. Acts chapter 2. I read him from verse 40. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves, rescue yourselves, come out from that place where you were by nature, by practice, and by action. It says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. It's saying you have to be out before you are in. You have to come out of your past life, have to come out of your sinful life, and come to the salvation in Christ. Now, the people who had this were not angry. They didn't say, Peter, what do you mean? We're Pharisees and Sadducees, what do you mean? Do you think we're godless? Do you think we don't have God? We are the children of Abraham, and we are the children of God. They didn't argue. They understood for the first time. They didn't understand previously, but now they understood that you must come out before you get in. Look at verse 41. And it says in verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 42, in verse 42 it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. They didn't, I said it before, they didn't come in and then go back to their old idolatry, and go back to their old religion, and go back to the old occultic darkness. They came, they were converted, and they continued in fellowship and in the word of the Lord, taught by the apostles. Look at number three here. Number three is the identity of begotten branches in the despised tree. When we say the despised tree, what are we talking about? We're talking about Christ. Because in Isaiah chapter 53, reading from verse 3, it says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we did as it were, we hid our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. He's talking about the generality of the people. He came unto his own, and his own received him not generally. But as many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God, sons and daughters of God, even the people that believed on his name, the people that said, although others despise, and they continue with their powerless religion, and they continue with their powerless idolatry, they made a choice that they were going to be in Christ, and he gave them the power, the privilege to become the sons of God. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Then in verse 5, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. The person who makes that personal, he was wounded for my transgressions. He died for me. He took my shame. He took my sorrows. He took my sins. He took the punishment of sin away from me. He says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was raised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Somebody say amen. Amen. Look at First Peter here. First Peter, I'm reading from chapter 1, and we're looking at verse 3. First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. These are the people that they desire to be a branch in the true vine, and they decide. Desire alone is not enough. Just looking at Christ and singing about him and appreciating him and telling about the cross and Calvary, that's not enough. You must make a decision on a particular day. You see all the sins in your life. You see the corruption of your life, and you say, he, Christ, is the only one that can save me. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us. Like a child is born. You are born into the kingdom, and you are not born gradually. One leg out today, the hand out next week, and then the trunk out at the end of the month, and then the belly comes out, and the head eventually comes out, and we say, mama, what's happening? I was giving birth to the child, and it took a gradual process of 3 months to give birth to the child. Instantaneously, immediately, salvation comes, not gradually. You are born into the kingdom, not gradually. I drop this now, and then after 1 week, I think again, okay, I need to drop that. And then eventually in 3 months, gradually, I am begotten. Instantaneously, because of faith, he has the power, and he gives the promise that whosoever comes to the Lord will be saved. And he says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again, born again, into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And now that you are born into the kingdom, what happens then in verse 14? Verse 14, as obedient children. You see the change? We were disobedient when we were on the other tree. We were dishonest when we were on the other tree. We were, you know, always distracted. You don't know whether you are here or there. And when you are in Rome, you do as the Romans do. When you are in Babylon, you do as the Babylonians do. When you are in Jerusalem, you do as the believers do. No, now you're born. And you're born again, you're begotten, you come into the kingdom, and as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former laws in your ignorance. In verse 15 it says, but as he which has called you is holy. Now the Father who has begotten you into the kingdom is holy, like father, like sons and daughters. The Christ through whom you came into the kingdom is thy holy child, Jesus. And you too, you have his nature. You don't have the nature of the serpent and the nature of the Savior at the same time. You don't have the nature of the goat and of the sheep. At the same time, when you are begotten, when you are born again, it takes away everything of darkness and it brings the light into your life. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Then in verse 16, it says, because it is written, you now go by it is written. Satan came to Christ and he said, turn this stone into bread. It is written. Now fall down from the pinnacle, because, and Jesus responded, it is written. Why don't you bow down to me and then I will give you the kingdom? And Jesus responded, it is written. Now, when you are begotten into the family of God, you walk, you live, you talk, you pray, you behave as it is written. You must ask yourself a question. In your daily life, in your daily devotion, in your daily attitude, in your daily interaction in the world, do you live and walk by it is written? That's what should come back into your life. If you are begotten, if you are born again, every step you take, every decision you make, the life you live, the interactions and communications you have, you live by it is written. Why are you doing what you are doing? I don't know. Can you show me where it is written that a begotten believer, born again believer, a renewed believer, where it is written, this is how to live? No, I don't think so. Then stop that thing. Because now you're begotten and your life is based on it is written. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Let the church say amen. Amen. We're looking at Romans chapter 11, and I'm reading from verse 16. For if the first fruits be holy, the lump also is holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. The root that carries us is holy. The root of David, the root that Jesus Christ that bears us, that carries us, that supports us, he is holy. So are the branches and the first fruit holy, and so the lump also is holy. Look at verse 22. In verse 22, behold, Therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fail severity, on them they keep falling into sin every day. And they say, yes, I'm in the vine, but I'm a sinner. Nothing, that's a contradiction. I'm in the light, but I have so much darkness. That's contradiction. I am in Christ, but I still follow Satan. That's great contradiction. It says, on them that fail, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. In 1 John chapter 5, and I'm reading from verse 18. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God, the begotten branch, whosoever, in whatever denomination, in whatever church circle, anywhere, he believes the Bible, he lives by the Bible, he is born of God, is begotten. And we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. He will not touch you, because you don't touch his property. He has property. Satan, the wicked one, has his own property. Idolatry, that's his property. Stealing, that's his property. Fighting, anger, that's his property. If you don't touch his property, because he watches over his property. And if you don't touch the idols, that's his property. Because you don't touch his property, he also, he will not touch you. The Lord will be watching over you. And the Lord will protect and preserve you. And he will keep you away from touching Satan's property. And then that wicked one will not touch you. Look at verse 21. In verse 21, it tells us, little children begotten of God, keep yourselves from idols. And everybody said, amen. We're coming to point number two here. Point number two, the consecration of faithful, abiding branches. It tells us in John chapter 15, verse 3, it says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Christ always spoke deliberately. Christ always spoke with a particular direction or purpose. Christ always spoke because he looks at the destinies of the people he was talking to, and he only spoke words that will make the people clean. He never spoke words that will make anyone corrupt. He never spoke words that will make anyone unclean. He never spoke words that will make anyone weak and then land in hell. How about you? You're following after Christ. And everyone that follows Christ should walk and talk and live and speak as he did. Do you speak words that corrupt other people? Do you speak words that make other people unclean? Christ said, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And then in verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you. No matter how intelligent you are, and no matter how resourceful you are, and no matter how many books you have read, and you're a bookworm, all those books cannot make you bear fruit except you abide in the vine. The people that, you know, brag about have been to Jerusalem. And that one cannot make you bear fruit. I've been to River Jordan. That one cannot make you bear fruit. I belong to the best church in town. That one cannot make you bear fruit. The only fruit bearing connection we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. You repent of your sin, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you become a fruit bearing branch. It says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Then in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. I am the vine and ye are, in the present tense, the branches. There is the conversion, there is the connection, and there is that connection that makes the branch to bear fruit. That tells us that those who say you cannot tell you're saved until you get to heaven, over here is the land of doubt and despair and unbelief, and nobody can be sure that he is in Christ until we get to heaven. That's a lie. He said, at this present time, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He says, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Number two here is the consecration of faithful abiding branches. We're looking at three things. Number one, we're looking at the faithful abiding believer branch. Number two, the fellowshipping added belonging branch. A branch, there's no branch that is an isolation. A branch that is just cut off from the old wild tree and then is in the valley in isolation, neutral. No, you have to be attached to the Lord, and there's the fellowshipping of added belonging branch. And then number three is the fruitful approved minister branch. Let's look at number one there. Number one is the faithful abiding believer branch. We're looking at 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, reading from verse 24, it says, let that therefore abide in you. The word you heard, let it abide in you. The word of repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, let it abide in you. The word, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, you have the right to believe. Nobody can control your believing or not believing. Whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Let that abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain, abide, continue in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. How does this believing branch abide, remain in the Lord? The word of God you have heard, the word of God you are hearing, the word that brought you to Christ, we don't throw that away. It abides, it remains in you. The word of faith, the word of assurance, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word of assurance, let it abide, let it remain in you, and think about it every time, meditate on it every time, possess it every time, practice it every time, believe it every time. Let the word abide in you. It tells us in verse 28, and now little children, abide in him. Abide in him. Satan has salesmen that go about publicizing, marketing what Satan has. He markets the occult, he markets idolatry, he markets darkness, he markets all the fashions of the world, and they might come to you now. A salesman might knock at your door. That doesn't mean you're going to buy what he is advertising. And so you remain in the word, and you allow the word to remain in you. In Proverbs chapter 23 and in verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. You bought the truth. You've got the truth. And when the truth of Christ abides in you, you abide in him, and nothing will take you away from the kingdom. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. It tells us in John chapter 8 verse 31. John chapter 8 verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue, if ye continue. Now I have spent 30 years in the kingdom, and God must have kept the record 30 years. I want to go and see and look at what's outside there. These idol worshippers, what are they doing? And these Satan followers, what are they doing? And then you come out. Once you come out, and you don't continue, and you go to poke nose into what the children of Satan are doing, your name is no more here. You are gone. It's yourself. He that sinneth against me, him will I blot out of my book which I have written. If you die in that condition outside the kingdom of his only begotten son, you perish forever. How about the 30 years I spent there? You must continue. You will continue. Because he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Are you in that number? I said, are you in that number? You abide. He said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. In verse 32, it says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ye shall know the truth. Now, at the point of your conversion, you are the truth, but you didn't know all the truth. At the point of your sanctification, a definite experience in the Lord, you knew more truth, but you didn't know all the truth. At the time of your being filled, indwelt, baptized by the Holy Ghost, you knew the truth, but you didn't know all the truth. Jesus said to his disciples, there are many things I should have told you, but I have not told you yet, because you cannot bear them. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Even those disciples that were taught by the Lord, for those 3 years, they didn't know all the truth. And in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, they were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now in chapter 10, the Lord showed him a vision, and he said, arise and kill and eat. And Peter said, no. He didn't know that truth, that the Gentiles and the Jews will be in one body. Even though he was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, it's as you go on and you abide and you continue in Christ, you will keep on knowing the truth. I say you'll keep on knowing the truth. As you come here today, you might hear something, I never heard that before. That's the truth coming to you. And as you know, then you follow. As you know, then you follow. And there'll be freshness of power, anointing in your life every time, in Jesus' name. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free. Any yoke in your life today, free. Any chain that binds you today, as you know the truth, accept the truth, believe the truth, rejoice in the truth. Every yoke in your life, every chain shattered, broken, in Jesus' name. We're coming to number two here. Number two here is the fellowshipping added belonging branches. A real branch has a sense of belonging, has the faith of belonging, and has the attitude of belonging. In Acts chapter 2 verse 42, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They continued in fellowship. It's not somebody, you know, running after them. Are you not coming to fellowship today? I feel so, I don't know how I feel. I have this slight headache. If you had that slight headache, you'll go to work. Why don't you go to church? You go to your market, even with that slight indisposed condition, you'll go places where you have appointment. Your appointment with God is not as strong, it's not as valuable. You must be in fellowship with God, in fellowship with Christ, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and in the fellowship of the people of God. They continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Look at verse 47. In verse 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If the Lord adds you to the church, that means you are part of the church. That means your fellowship in the church. That means you come to hear the word of God. That means you come to pray. And the Lord who has added you, he will not subtract you. But if you subtract yourself, I will not go. I will not be there. When God has added you to the church, and he wants you to be part of the church, he wants you to be part of the Bible believing people, and then you subtract yourself. And when the angels are counting the people that belong to the vine, they say this, this minus that. There'll be no minus in front of my name. Say it for yourself. Say it for yourself. Addition. Addition. The Lord adds you to the church. And every promise of God, he adds to your life. Every prophecy for the church, he adds to your life. And every progress he wants the church to make, that upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That prophecy for the church will be added to your life. We're looking at 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, we're reading from verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He adds to the church. But anyone still in darkness, in the darkness of idolatry, he will not add that to his church. Anyone that still has the darkness of occultism, he belongs to a gang, and he says, I already pledged, I already made a covenant with that gang, and I, you know, inscribed something and blood came out, and I'm there, but now I belong to that, I belong to the God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If you're going to be in Christ and to be in God, you have to quit everything of darkness and then come to the light, and you will be light in your soul. light in your spirit, light in your language. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hidden. Let your light so shine, therefore, before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The light of the gospel has taken hold in your life, and now you are added to God and added to the church who is light. Look at verse 6 there. In verse 6 it says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness and talk in darkness and live in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In verse 7 it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his son cleanseth us from all sins. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Look at number three here, the fruitful approved minister branch. The minister is also a branch in the vine. It tells us in John chapter 15, reading from verse 7. John chapter 15 verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. The minister too must abide in Christ. We're looking for victory, it's in Christ. Triumph, it's in Christ. Solution to every problem, it's in Christ. And we're looking for miracle, all that is in Christ. Whatever you cannot find in Christ, you cannot find any other place. There's no point going to a man, idol worshiper in the secret. I want my church to grow. How is the church going to grow? You want to go and get power from Satan? Satan is the enemy of Christ. Is he going to give you real power to make the church of his enemy of Christ grow? You missed your way. You go to a herbalist and you go to somebody, you know, doing something on the ground, on the sand. I want my ministry to grow. I want money. I want this. You go to the messengers of Satan that bruised the heel of Christ, that nailed Christ to the cross. And then you go to them in secret so that I can have power, progress, prosperity, and multiple results. You are lost. You must come back from, if you don't come back from there, the one that gave you so-called power, all the people that come, they just crouch. They're not people of God, and God is not going to add them. They're the fruit of Satan worship, and he's not going to add them to his church. If you want genuine growth, it's only in Christ. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. Why don't you ask him? You are not a believer in Christ. You are a believer of that in darkness. You believe in the power of evil. That's why you go to them. If you didn't believe in them, you will not go to them. If you believed in Christ with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, you will stay with Christ. And it says, and whatsoever ye will, you can ask, and it shall be done unto you. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Who is the candidate for much fruit? He will do it. I said he will do it. Whatever he has done through any other minister that you say, I wish I were like that man, it will happen. Because herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. We're looking at John chapter 12, verse 24. In John chapter 12 verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. We need to die to self. Self-management, self-promotion, and self-help. Heaven helps those who help themselves. I've been on this ground so many years, just marking time. Heaven helps those who help themselves. You got that sentence from the world. And when you come to Christ, you drop all those ideologies. I'm going to help myself. How do you help yourself? In salvation, you couldn't help yourself. You couldn't save yourself. In living a holy life, you couldn't help yourself. In working miracle, how do you want to help yourself? It's Christ that will help you. Christ is your helper. The Lord is your helper. He says, so we may boldly come to him and ask for mercy and receive help in the time of need. Today, help is coming from heaven upon your life. It says, if we die to self, then we bring forth much fruit. From this day, I prophesy, pronounce fruit in your life, fruit in your family, and fruit in your ministry in Jesus' name. We're coming to point number three here. Point number three, the cultivation by the Father, pruning the branches. The cultivation by the Father himself. It says in chapter 15 of John, I'm reading from verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he, the Father, purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye, who is that ye? I said, who is that ye? It will happen. That ye may bear, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Well, we're looking at this under three perspectives. Looking at number one, the personal purging for maintained fruitfulness. You're bearing fruit already, and then you yourself, you have the responsibility of purging yourself. Personal purging for maintained fruitfulness. We're looking at number two, is periodic pruning for multiplied fruitfulness. Now, if you are familiar with farming, you see that the farmer, he has planted something. He has planted some fruit-yielding trees. And there are times, periodically, he will go to the farmer and branches that are shooting up, that will not bear fruit, that will only sap nutrient from the tree. He'll cut that off. He prunes them. And if you are, dealing with flowers, you see how you prune the flowers to make them remain in good shape. Some branches are going here and there. And you take the biggest scissors and you clip them. They can remain in place. Periodically, that is done. The periodic pruning for multiplied fruitfulness. Number three, purposeful purging for ministerial fruitfulness. You will bear fruit. Look at number one. Number one is personal purging for maintained fruitfulness. We're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, reading from verse 1. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Let us cleanse ourselves. That's what we do every day. Somebody else can provide the water. They can provide the sponge. They can provide the soap. But now, use that and cleanse yourself. Christ has provided the blood that cleanses us, the word that makes us clean. Christ has provided the grace and the faith that will make us clean. Let's make use of what he has provided and what he has given. Therefore, having these promises, having all these cleansing agents, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, reading from verse 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself. Somebody is here, something is coming to your life. You are becoming a talkative. And you are not praying as you used to pray. Well, God, I'm concerned about just talking, and my life is drained out, and there is leaking of the grace and the power, the anointing of God in your life. God, help me do something about it. You are the one to do something about that. You see yourself getting near and near and near the world like Samson. And the parents say, Samson, is there nobody in the land of Israel that can fulfill this need you are thinking of? Leave me alone. They left him alone. He lost his strength. He lost his ear. He lost his eyes. He lost everything. We are to purge ourselves. You see, you are getting nearer and nearer and nearer to the thing that will drain you, to the thing that will destroy you. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. You will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. The Lord will prepare you. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven. You see, the old character, the old attitude, the old anger is coming back to your life. The old kind of retaliation is coming back to your life, and you're becoming more different and different and different from Christ. And you wake up and you say, in your private thinking, actually, I wasn't like this when I first became born again. I wasn't like this when I first heard the truth. What are you going to do now? While I'm waiting for God, there's personal purging. It says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ hath passed over his sacrifice for us. In verse 8 says, therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the leaven of unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In 1 John chapter 3, reading from verse 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself. You have to do it yourself. You discover something. Laziness is coming back to your life. You used to wake up in the night and then you will pray and hold the hands of the altar. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. In your earlier years or in some years past, you will pray and pray until the confidence and the courage and the power and the anointing will come again, and you're renewed and refreshed. All that, if it's not there again, every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Renewal in your life in Jesus' name. We're coming to number two. Number two is the periodic pruning for multiplied fruitfulness. Periodic pruning for multiplied fruitfulness. In Isaiah chapter 6, we're looking at verse 5. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Then said I, woe is me. Now, there are things you can confess before God. You don't have to come to the public and say, this is my weakness. You don't have to go to the social media and put it there. This is my kind of, my error, my falsehood, my mistake. You can do that in the private. Isaiah saw the glory of God, and he heard the angel shouting, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. He didn't go to the center square of Jerusalem to say, woe is me. This was between him and the Lord, and between you and the Lord. You know the things that are there, that if those things could be off, you will be as mighty as Elijah. You know, if these things are off, you'll be as wonderful in ministry as Elisha. You know that if this thing could come into your life, Deborah and yourself will be at par, and Esther of the Bible and yourself, you'll be at par, but only because of this and this and that. And now you can go before the Lord and say, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then in verse 6, we're told, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Verse 7, and he laid it upon my mouth. The fire from the altar of the Lord will burn every chaff out of your life in Jesus' name. And said, lo, this has touched thy lips. When we hear a message for 1 hour or so, do we allow the fire, the coal, life coal from the altar of the Lord to touch our lips, touch our heart, touch our ministries, touch our character before we go out, before we run out, before we rush out? Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord, and he said, I see my shortcomings, and I bring that to the Lord. And the Lord sent an angel with the live coal and said, this has touched thy lips, thine iniquity is taken away, and I see no purge. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, I heard the voice of the Lord. You'll hear the voice of the Lord. You know, you have to come out of that crowd. You have to come out of the people that talk anyhow, live anyhow, drink anyhow, do anything. You have to spot yourself out. Look at your life. Look at how many years have passed. And look at whatever number of years remain. How are you going to spend the years remaining? You'll spend it in the power of God. But then that means you must come aside. Come ye yourself apart a little while, that you may pray, that you may be refreshed, that you may be revived. He said, I have the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Here am I. This is chapter 6. The result of this voluntary submission to the Lord is from chapter 7 to the rest of the book. 60 other chapters. Because at this point, Isaiah allowed the Lord to touch him anew and touch him afresh. As you allow the Lord to touch you afresh anew today, we cannot tell the result that will come as a result of the coal fire and the life coal of fire from the altar touching your lips, touching your heart, touching your life today. The sky now is your limit. Who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. Let's look at number 3 quickly before we pray. Number 3 is the purposeful purging for ministerial fruitfulness. Purposeful purging for ministerial fruitfulness. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. In verse 6, it says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. It's the love of God that will bring to your remembrance. Look at that side. And then you become unhappy. How could I be like that? Look at that side. Look at your thought. Look at your mind. Look at your life. Look at your ministry. Look at you at the pulpit, getting angry at the pulpit. And instead of being a blessing to the people, you're just talking about yourself. And then you're getting angry because they didn't do the way you wanted them to do. Look at yourself, and then when you see us, it is the love of God that helps us to see ourselves when he corrects us, when he chastises us, and then he will purge us. I said he will purge us. And now look at verse 10. In verse 10, he tells us, for a few days chastise us after their own pleasure. That's our earthly parents, but he, our heavenly Father, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And then what he wants of us is to be a partaker. He says, my child, I am holy. This is my attitude, this is my attribute, and I want to give part of my attribute unto you. I want to give part of my nature unto you. You will receive. Look at verse 14. In verse 14, it says, follow peace with all men. Maybe from, you know, before this time, you couldn't follow peace with everybody. Only the people that, you know, give you gifts, you smile at them. All the other people, oh, why is he coming empty? And they didn't give me any what I'm looking for. And then you cannot follow peace with them. But now, the grace of God will multiply in your life. And you will follow peace with all men. How many men? Your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, and all those people that they are like thorn in your flesh. You'll be at peace with everyone. You're following the Prince of Peace, and the Prince of Peace that lives and abides in you, he'll grant you that possibility, and the peace from you and the peace through you will convert them to sons and daughters of peace in Jesus' name. And holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And holiness, what kind of thing is that? Okay, I'll go out, I'm going to struggle and fight so that I can have holiness. No, he says so that you'll be partakers of his holiness. Holiness by grace. Holiness by faith. Holiness as a gift. I say, Lord, I cannot be holy by myself. I want the holiness that comes by grace, by gift, and by faith. It will fill you with its own holiness. The Lord has started with us today to prune and to purge and to remind us what needs still to be done as a child of God in your life. Or if you have not been cut off from the wild tree and then grafted in to the wonderful tree, the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning, this is your hour. And whatsoever you will ask from the Lord, he will grant unto you. Don't ask for toys. Don't ask for small things. Let it be a big thing you are asking for. You have his nature. You have his promise. You have his purity. You have his pardon. You have his peace. And you have his perseverance. And you have his power. From today, as you believe, all things will be possible in your life in Jesus' name. Let's rise up now and talk to the Lord in prayer. Let's rise up. He loves us. That's why he has spoken his word unto us. And he will not leave you the way you came. He's going to do something new, something fresh, something powerful in your life. Are there things to be purged out of your life? Think through and say, Lord, here I am. Everything that needs to be purged out of my life, out of my language, out of my ministry, out of my ministration, purge me, and I shall be white, whiter than snow. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer. Be sincere. If you've been consulting idols, you've been consulting the occult, consulting those dark powers, he wants you to repent. He wants you to turn away and say, Lord, my mouth will never kiss the ground for them anymore. Talisman, throw them away. Waistband, throw them away. And all that kind of material you receive from those men of dark powers, you paid for them. Throw them away. Come clean. And the blood of Jesus will cleanse and wash you whiter than snow. Consecrate yourself. Commit yourself completely unto the Lord. Lord, I surrender all. I surrender all. My heart, my soul, my mind, everything, my decisions, my desires, my aspiration. Lord, I surrender all. All to Jesus, my Savior. I surrender all. Let him wash you. Let him cleanse you. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He promised he'll fulfill. Look at what ruined Samson. Don't allow any property of Satan to remain in your life so that you are not ruined. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And he doesn't want you to perish. with all those things you got from the nature of Satan. He wants to make your life beautiful, your ministry fruitful. Surrender fully, surrender completely, totally unto Christ. See, he is now my Savior. He is now my Lord. The King of my life. And let him fulfill his promises in your life. Let him begin today. And let him load your life with multiple blessings and fruitfulness. All the grace you need available. All the gifts you need available. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Don't leave him. Don't abandon him. Abide in him. And let his word abide in you. And then you will ask whatsoever you want for your life, for your family, for your ministry, for your profession, for your work, for your market, whatsoever. And he'll grant it unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord has answered your prayer. Amen. There'll be a confirmation. Amen. You'll make progress from this day on. Amen. And everything you need for your life to be a success, for your ministry to be a success, and for your family to be happy and to be fruitful and overflowing, the Lord will accomplish your life in Jesus' name. I am blessed. Where is he? Where is she? Raise up that hand and let the blessing of the Lord multiply your life in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the introduction of the great multiplied blessings you are bringing upon your people. I'm asking, O Lord, that no one here will miss your operative hand that will perform wonders in every life in Jesus' name. Purge every one of us. You know, that thing, redundant thing, that shouldn't be in any life. Here, I pray, Lord, take the heavenly pruning instrument and purge every useless thing out of every life in Jesus' name. And I pray no life here will remain empty. As you take away what should not be there, fill everyone with the treasure of heaven in Jesus' name. Fill us with more grace, with more gift, with great faith, and with the assurance that we belong to heaven and we belong to you. Let every doubt and unbelief vanish away in Jesus' name. Send forth your people as fruit-bearing believers. Send forth your people as fruit-bearing ministers. Where we failed before, let there be success. Where we were defeated before, make us more than conquerors in Jesus' name. Accomplish your word. Accomplish your will in every life. That, Lord, everything that made us stumble in the past, as we go forth now, be clear out of the way. Success in your life. accomplishment in your life. Great achievement in ministry and profession in your life in Jesus' name. The protection of the Lord go with you. No evil eye will see you. No evil hand will touch you. You'll go from grace to grace. You'll go from faith to faith. You'll go from glory to glory. And the abiding power of the Lord and presence of the Lord continue with everyone. Lord, confirm it in every life. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless everyone.